This city used to be something once. I've seen pictures of the way it gleamed. Sun so bright off windows it could burn your eyes. At night, lights shouted from steel like catcalls, loud and lewd, while all day long, white-gloved men rushed to open doors for women who tottered about on skyscraper heels. I wonder sometimes what happened to those women when the return hit, how they were able to run and survive with such absurd contraptions strapped to their feet. How different the world must have been before, safe and comfortable. The city is nothing like that anymore. Now, bare beams scrape the sky like splintered finger bones. Half the high-rises have fallen, and scavengers pilfered the intricately scrolled ironwork long ago. There's not much of anything left anymore, just the fear that seeps fog-like through the streets. Fear of the recruiters. Fear of the unconsecrated. Fear of tomorrow. Even so, the city's been my home. Other than the village I lived in as a child, this is the only world I've known. It's sharp-cornered and raw, but it's a refuge for those with a burn to survive. You pay your rents, you follow the rules, and you do what it takes to keep living. Which is why I find myself on the Neverland side of the palisade wall that cordons off and protects the dark city as the last dregs of evening slide across the sky. This is the place where Elias would go when he was desperate for money, desperate to trade so we could pay our rent and stay in our tiny flat for another year. It's the place where anything can be found for the right trade, and where, after the blade of my only knife broke this afternoon, I've come for help. Clutching the replacement blade tightly, I've started to cross over one of the bridges strung between two buildings when I hear a deep rumbling cough. It's approaching dusk and storm clouds hover over the river, causing the light to drip a dull green. I shuffle faster toward the next roof, determined to get back to my flat in the dark city before full night. But as soon as my foot lands on the rickety bridge connecting the buildings, a voice calls out, "Wouldn't do that if I were you." I freeze, the frayed rope railing in one hand. I've been alone long enough to have learned to look out for myself, yet something about the warning makes me hesitate. Just as I start to take another step, the voice says, "Look down." And I do. The alley a dozen stories below is dim and choked in shadows, but even so I see something moving. A moan floats up, echoing softly between the buildings as it rises. The sun breaks through a narrow gap in the clouds and the light reflects down the alley, glinting briefly off what looks like eyes and a row of cracked teeth. As my gaze adjusts, I can make out dozens of clawing fingers reaching for me amid a pile of broken bodies that should have died from their fall, but didn't. Or maybe they did die, and infections brought them back as plague rats. I shiver, disgust rolling through me. Carefully, I inch back onto the roof, noticing how the wooden boards I was just about to walk onto are rotten. One step more, and I'd have been down on that heap as well. "You're the first one to listen to me and not take a dive," the voice says, and I spin, pulling my new knife between us. A woman sits tucked between two crumbling stone chimneys. In her hand, she clutches a charred wooden pipe that feebly chokes out smoke. I glance around the roof, expecting some sort of trap. The woman gestures toward my knife. "Don't bother," she says. "Just me up here." She puts the pipe back in her mouth, the end of it burning a bright red, and in that instant I get a clear look at her face. Thick, dark lines painted around eyes, smudged by tears or sweat or both. Then the ember fades, pulling her back into shadow. But not before I see the raw circle around her wrist, festering with infection. The flesh edging the wound puffs and oozes, and I recognize it as a bite. I pull my knife back up between us, refusing to let it shake. I'm usually pretty good at avoiding any confrontation with the unconsecrated. No matter how careful you are, there's always the risk that something will go wrong, and they'll get their teeth into you, one way or another.